Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's not very complicated. We complicate things sometimes, really big time. You know, this, you know, and we like to take it out of the old King James that thou shalteth, fighteth with the axeth, you know. But the fact is that it's not that complicated. And God really, you know, it's just very basic principles that enable us to encounter God in an incredible way. You know, we're always looking for the secret to His power or the secret to His presence or the secret to know Him more. The fact is He wants to know you more. The fact is that right from the very beginning, that was His desire. So there's no secret. It's what He wants. It's what He desires. The problem lieth not with himeth. The problem is us. The problem is that we struggle to do just three basic things. We struggle to surrender. Because some of us don't even know what that really looks like. Because we've been brought up in a culture where I'm taught to protect myself. I'm taught to have my rights and my way and my opinion. Well, quite frankly, when it comes to the kingdom, your opinion really doesn't matter. You know, and surrendering means I give you my opinion. And last night, from what I heard, is Pastor Mike was telling me that they didn't even start worship. And the atmosphere was filled with young people so hungry for God. And there's the second key. Is a hunger. You have to have a desire for Him. You have to have a desire for His presence. You have to have a desire for more than just knowing about God. And that's what happened last night with these young people. They were there. They were surrendering. They were hungry. They were passionate. They were desperate for God. So many of us struggle so much to just get to do those two basic things. It's a big job to just come to church. Oh, but you know, I don't need church. But brother, you don't read your Bible if you say that. Because we need each other. I promise you we do. Oh, well, you know, yeah, but we don't need the church in a building. Whatever. I don't get me started, okay? Because I will go there. Amen. But so many of us have had this. Now, fortunately, here at Oceans, I can honestly say, you know, I really believe God is, we're growing as a congregation, and it's wonderful to see God moving in so many ways and so many people's lives being impacted and touched and growing with God and all that sort of thing. But you know, maybe it's you on the internet. I don't know. Amen. But I'm just, you know, I feel this is what I need to minister on this morning. And, you know, and I just... You know, there's some things that we have to understand. And the one thing is that there is more. You know, there is more. You must never get to a place in your relationship with God where you think, well, you know, I know what that's like. I don't really need more. You know, I have a relationship kind of, you know, I pray before dinner and before I go to bed. And, you know, so I know God. Well, you know, really there is so much more. And one of the things that's so important is for us as believers is to find out who we are in Christ. Because in Christ, you are not the same as you are outside of Christ. Your destiny and your purpose is not outside of Christ. It is in Christ. You will only discover who you truly are and what you truly called to do when you're in Christ. But that requires a few things to take place. And some of them I've mentioned to you. Hunger, a thirst for Him. A surrendered heart. So, you know, willing to just say, God, look, you know, I don't know it all. You know, I've studied the Bible. I've done Bible school and all that stuff. I learn every day. I don't know it all. The Bible says that we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. The word truth there is so powerful because it speaks about coming before Him just honestly. Honest. Honestly, I can tell you, God, I'm a mess. Honestly, I can tell you, God, I need you. Honestly, I can tell you, God, I don't know everything. honestly, God, I have to. If you don't come, I'm in trouble. That's being honest before God. But if we don't even get to a place where we say, God, I need you, how can we be worshiping him in truth? Does that make sense, guys? But you must remember, it has to be, I can stand here, jump around, shout, scream, do twists and all kinds of stuff. I can't change your heart. Amen. All right, so I want to take a look at a little story in the Bible that hopefully will speak to you. But before we do that, let me just say this to you. Before Stephen was taken up, or rather murdered and stoned, when he was preaching, you know, Stephen was this young man who really didn't have much education and was standing there with the Pharisees, and he was busy opening up the scriptures to them. If you read it, it's not great revelation, actually. You know, I'm a scholar, so I know, you know. Hallelujah, you know. It's just basic stuff. But you see, here's the difference. Is that while he's speaking, something is happening inside the hearts of those listening. He's busy speaking about Moses and what happened in the days of old, and he's preaching with power. And there's power coming out of him to the point where the religious people are looking at him thinking, who the heck are you? And where did you get this stuff? And it's actually becoming such an offense to them, because what's coming out of his mouth is so alive. And how can you say this? And how can you speak like this? And what is going on? And where does this come from? And this poor young man is preaching with such fervency and passion, and he's so desperate and hungry for God that they can't stand it. They can't stand that he could dare be like this and dare say this stuff. So they pick up stones and they're about to kill him. And he says this. He says in Acts 7:51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." And it still happens today in the church. We resist him. We resist and we fight. And if we hear one thing that we just don't think is exactly right, now we're all upset, and we get upset about people falling down in church. Because we can't find a scripture. There's many scriptures of people falling down when the power was there, when the presence was there. When Jesus just, when they said to Jesus, they said, "Are you Jesus?" He turns around, he looks at them, and they all fall down. Oh, well, you know, that's maybe Jesus, but you're not Jesus. When did you not hear that it's Christ in me or in you? Have you ever stuck your finger in the socket of an electric plug? You will be on the ground. Why? Because there's power. And don't say there's no power. Of course there's power. Go read the Bible. It's full of power. The New Testament, the book of Acts, all it is power. Power and love. The two key ingredients. Amen. All right, so let's get to our story. Let's go to 1 Samuel 9:17. 1 Samuel 9:17. Are you guys okay? Okay. Verse 17. 1 Samuel 9, verse 17. "So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'There he is, the man whom I spoke to you. The man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall reign over my people.'" Let's stop right there. You see, in the Old Testament, certain individuals were chosen to represent or to hear God's voice or to be separated to do a task. It would always be the kings or the priests that would have the Spirit of God come upon them. But in the New Testament, we are all kings and priests. Amen. We all have access to God. We can all minister to him. We can all be used by him. Amen. And if you look at the scripture, it says here, it says that when the Lord said to him, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you." The fact of the matter is that every single one of us is that man. is the one who is talking about, who is desperate to get you to recognize and realize who you are in Him. Because you are special to God. Oh, it's a cliche. No, it's not. There's a treasure, there's a secret, there's a mystery inside you that has been hidden, that the enemy has hidden. And now that you're serving God, it's available for you to tap into it. It's available for you to go after it, to find out what it is that God wants to do with your life, because there you are, the one He's been talking about, the one He's been waiting for. But every Sunday we come to church, week after week after week, and it's the same thing, because we don't decide to go deeper. We don't decide to go further. Listen, I know what Pastor Mike ministered on Saturday night. He didn't have to say one word last night, and those kids would have got wrecked. Why? Because they were ready. They were hungry. They surrendered. They wanted it. They made a decision. I want more, Lord. Amen. This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, and you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. Tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. Every one of us have something that God has called us to do in our heart, and we need to find out exactly what that is. When you start to serve Him and surrender to Him and really make a decision to do that, you will begin to find out. Because it's not only what, it just starts to happen. It just starts to take place. I've sat with people, even sitting in this room, that have said to me, I don't know why God did that, but that's what He did with me. That was your destiny. That was your purpose. Amen. You're doing a great job, Paul. Thank you. Just by the way. Amen. Okay. You see, God is always interested in what's in you. But what you must remember is your purpose and destiny was placed there before you were even formed in your mother's womb. In other words, He knew you even before you were born and had planned for you even then. I heard Pastor Mark once say something that is really funny. He said, thank God, God called me before He knew me, because if He had found out what I was like, He wouldn't have called me. Amen. I think it's so brilliant. Amen. Now watch. Now He says, I'm going to reveal to you what's in your heart. Now you must understand that the reason why Saul went to Samuel was to find out about where his donkeys were. Now watch. Now the prophet says to him in verse 20, but as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. Now, that's the problem with the majority of us when we come to church. We're so worried about everything going on in our lives and how God can fix it, that we lose our focus, which is Him and the plan He has for us. So we go to God, which in the Old Testament, the prophet was the voice of God. So that he went to God, to the prophet, to the voice of God, wanting to know about where the donkeys are, wanting to know about all his problems. Oh God, I need a new car. Oh God, I need you to fix this. Oh God, I've got this problem. Oh God, and listen, God does care, as you can see. But that was not the point. That was not what God was interested in. You see, God is always interested in who you are. When Gideon was in the wine press, okay, he's in the wine press, he's a mess. Hebrew people are in a mess. They're oppressed. It's been going really bad for like 7 years. Everything's a disaster. And he's sitting there and he's in the wine press and he's busy sitting there and it's really bad. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says to him, oh, mighty man of valor. You see, when God comes to you, He doesn't tell you about all your problems and what a mess you are. He comes and tells you about who you really are. And He makes a declaration to you and He says, listen, this is who you are. And this Gideon's looking, he must be looking, thinking, what the heck are you talking about? Do you not know what a mess I am? Do you not know what my circumstances look like? And that's how so many of us are. We're so consumed with what's going on around us, our jobs, our marriages, all the stuff that could be potentially maybe not going so great or whatever it is. My marriage is great, praise God, amen. But my wife is here, amen. It really is, thank the Lord, amen. Okay, I don't know why I said that, amen. But anyway, okay. Yes, your marriages will be fine. We pray for your marriages every time. I do not miss that. When I pray for you, I do not miss praying for your marriages. Because there's an enemy that wants to destroy the house. Because if he destroys the house, he causes so much pollution with the kids and everything. And God wants to restore and protect your marriages. So we pray for you. Amen. Is that okay, guys? Amen. Verse number 20. Are you guys okay? It's a little different this morning, okay? Normally I'm very, okay. Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. The fact of the matter is, you'll find that Saul and his family were all warriors. Not the warriors that we want to be, but the ones that worry all the time. Amen. And on whom is all the desire? Can you go to verse 21? And Saul answered and said, I am... No, wait a second. Okay, let me continue off here. Let's go to verse 20, guys. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? Watch, next verse, verse number 21. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me? You see, it's amazing because Saul cannot even fathom that God has some kind of a plan for him, that God wants to even give him a good word. Does he not recognize how what a mess his life is in, how the least they are? God's not looking necessarily for the greatest or the best. He didn't place something in you saying you're going to be the best or the greatest. He had a plan for you and he put that in you, and it is what it is. The problem is we can't see it. Why then do you speak to me like this? Now Samuel took Saul and his servants and brought them into the hall and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons, and Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh, which it's with its upper part, and set it above Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you, eat, for until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. You see, God has something set aside for each and every one of us that has been specifically put there for you. I just need like 3 people to believe this. Amen. And then I can carry on preaching. Amen. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went inside. He said to Samuel, as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on. But you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God. Now here it comes. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? We all have an inheritance. Then you have departed from me today. You will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. There we go. You see, when you start to focus on what God has for you, immediately the things you worried about get taken care of. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and he's worrying about you. But your dad, we know you guys are warriors, you know. He's worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the Tebenith tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen. Oh, here we go. When you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Now watch. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You see, this is so important. This is so big. This is so huge. And I don't know if you're putting it together, but the fact is that there is a moment in your Christian walk when you give your life to Him and He comes and lives inside you. But there is another moment where the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You see, so many believers don't get to that point. They believe that there's only one moment, the moment I give my life to Him. No. There is another moment. There is a moment where the Spirit of God comes upon you. And when He comes upon you, it's for purpose, it's for destiny, it's to encounter you, it's so that your eyes open up and everything changes. Now watch, in the New Testament, we see Jesus give this example with His own disciples. And you all know the story, but let me refresh it. So when Jesus rises from the dead, you know, I need to read the scripture because there's some people looking at me with very puzzled looks. Let's quickly go there. Are you guys okay? Okay, let's quickly go there and then we'll go back there. Let's go to John 20:19. Okay, I know many of you know this, but I need to, for the sake of those that are new and those that are watching me, just amen. Then the same day, Jesus has now risen from the dead. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. This is after He's risen. And said to them, peace to you. When He said this, He showed them His hands and His sides. Then His disciples were glad. And they said, were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when He had said this, now watch, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you also receive the Holy Spirit. When you believe, amen. But there is more. You see, just before Jesus gets taken up to go to be with the Father, He says to His disciples, I want you to wait. Let's go there quickly. Luke 24:49, just one verse. Are you all awake? Yes. See, those of you who have been here a while are like, oh, you know, Pastor Alex, we know this stuff. Yeah, amen, you do. Thank God you've been taught well. Amen. Okay. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father. Watch, what does it say? Upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. You see, there is another expression. There is a moment. You must understand that Saul was a covenant child. He was already a believer. The same way that many of us are believers. But we all have to have an encounter with God. We all have to have a desire for more. You cannot be a stiff-necked people and expect God to take you further. You cannot expect God to take you further. You cannot expect God to give you more, to reveal destiny and purpose from you, especially if you don't believe. And there are many that don't believe. Well, you know, I've given my life to Him and that's it. No. That's only the beginning, guys. That's like the tip of the iceberg. Yes, now you have eternal life, the greatest miracle of all. I agree. But that's just the beginning of what God has for you. And so we see clearly that even with Saul, who was a believer, who was a covenant child, then gets to a point where his life's about to change, and it happens when the Spirit of God comes upon him. So it is even now in the New Testament. Yes, we receive the Holy Spirit, but there is a day where he comes upon us. We must desire this. Now watch what happens when he comes upon you. Watch. Are you all okay? Let's go back to Samuel. 1 Samuel 10, verse number 6. 1 Samuel 10, verse number 6. It's very quiet in Vero Beach. That's okay. Amen. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. What man? What man? Listen to me. The one that God has called you to be. The secret, the mystery. You see, when he arrived there, God said to him, there's the one. There's the one who will reign over my people. There's the one who I've placed destiny in. You see, you walk into church and God is saying, here he is. This is the day I'm going to encounter him. This is the day I'm going to touch him. And the problem is that so many of us just don't want it. So many of us, even during worship, we stand there with our body language is like, I ain't going to do this. I'm not gonna surrender. Well, I don't want to surrender. I'm amazed at people who blame God for everything when they don't know him. I don't believe in God. I hate God. What? It doesn't make sense. Sorry, I had to deal with something in the spirit. Is that okay? God does not tempt man. Listen to me. God does not tempt you. He does not tempt you. He cannot tempt you. He will not tempt you. God will not tempt you. Amen. So what happened to you wasn't God's fault. Amen. So why must you give all to him? Because don't you want to live and find out why you're actually here? Don't you want to know what it is that God's, what it is that I was born for? What is it, Lord? And then find out the greatest love affair you will ever have, which is with the most awesome Father that you will ever have. Amen. But there must be a desire. There must be a passion. There must be a moment where you go from just being a Christian to stepping in to what he has for you. I pray for people all the time. Some people, I pray for them, I love them so much and just wish that they would just open their hearts, but it's like a brick wall. Some of them can't help it, I get that. But I mean, just make an effort. Just make an effort to just say, God, I give in today. I surrender today. Just today. And then in that moment, when he comes upon you, you will become the other man. Amen. Now watch this, because it gets even better. Can you believe it could possibly get better than that? Amen. And be turned into the other man. I'm almost done, guys. In verse 7, and let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands. Why? For God is with you. You see, Jesus knew. Even though his disciples had been with him, seen him do all those things and all that stuff, he knew that they needed to have the Spirit of God come upon them to equip them so that God would be with them always, so that when the occasion demanded, they would be able to step up. You see, when the occasion demands, put the scripture up, please, guys. Verse number 20, number 7. You see, it says there that you do as the occasion demands. Whatever will be necessary in your life, whatever challenge comes your way, whatever you need, you will be able to do it because he will be with you, not only in your life, but if someone needs to be healed, you'll be able to pray. If someone needs deliverance, you'll be able to pray. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Get a little bit more, just a little. little. We have to go past the point of just being a covenant child. Yeah. You look at Moses, and the children of Israel come out of Egypt, and like hardly any of them inherit their promise. Because they say, Moses, you've gone here from God. We don't want to hear. You know, we're all children and we're great. And then they, and generation after generation, God has been looking for a people that will say, God, I don't want to hear from the prophet anymore. I don't want to hear from that one anymore. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to know you. I want to be able to walk into West Marine or into Publix and stand in front of someone and while I'm standing there, that person begins to just weep without me even saying a word, because the presence of God is with me. You have the ability to do that. I've seen this stuff happen. I've seen this stuff happen, guys. This is not for the pastor or the apostle or the prophet. It's for those who believe. It's for all of us. But there must be a moment where you finally say, God, thank you that I'm your child. But this morning, I surrender. I want you to come upon me. I want to know who the other man is, the one that you've called me to be, the one that you've destined me to be. Can we all just close our eyes for just a moment? For just a moment. Just dim the lights for me, guys. Can you dim the lights on the stage for me a little as well, please? Thank you. So, Father, we thank you this morning for your presence and for your word. Because your word is true and life-giving, Father. And even this morning, I know that there are people sitting here, maybe watching online, and Father, they have been serving you maybe even a long time, for many years. But Lord, there's a moment in our lives and our walks with you. Some of us have this moment over and over. I know I do. I just have to come to you again and say, listen, Father, today I humble myself and I pray. I know I need you. I turn from all the stuff I don't need in my life, the junk, the wicked ways. And I say, Father, here I am. And then your word says that you'll heal our land. And Father, it is very evident in Scripture that there are moments where you come upon people and you change their lives forever. Father, we know we have the promise of the Holy Spirit who lives inside us but desires also to come upon us so that we can step into our purpose and destiny. And so right now in this place, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will flood the room with your peace and your presence. And Father, I thank you that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. What happened yesterday doesn't matter. For this is the turning point for many of you sitting even in this room this morning. And God brought you here to hear this word because it's a turning point for you. It's a point where you're going to say, now I want more. Now I'm hungry. Now I desire to encounter you, Lord. And so we thank you for it right now, Father. Right now. Right now. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just your presence is so beautiful, Lord. And we're so thankful for it. We're so thankful for you. And Father, I don't need to do a call because you know the heart of every person sitting here. You know what's in their hearts. You know what's going on inside them. And I know that you're working right now in individuals sitting here. You're working in my heart this morning, Father. We desire more. We desire to see and fulfill the plan that you have for us. But most of all, Father, our greatest purpose is to love you. And to know you and to walk with you. And so I pray that for every person here this morning. I also pray, Father, this morning as we leave this place, that your grace and your mercy and your love will go with them, that the peace of God will surround them, And Father, I thank you that you are in control of our lives. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' precious name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.